I want to continue to talk to you about real friends or real friendships. This morning, we'll kind of narrow in talking about a community of friends. I want to start, though, as a reminder of a key thought and a scripture that we had from last week that we can build upon. The key thought was this: you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. A key scripture that backs that up is when Solomon writes under the direction of the Holy Spirit in Proverbs chapter 13, and he says, "Walk with the wise and become what? Wise. So, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you again for your word that is living and active. Help us to not only be hearers of your word, but doers, putting your word into action. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if you hang around people who are passionate, who are positive and faith-filled, you will become more passionate. You'll become more positive. You'll become full of faith. When you hang around people like that, that's what happens. On the other hand, if you run around with people who are negative and critical and have bad attitudes, you're going to be harmed by that. You're going to be pulled down to a level that you don't want to go to that moves into negativity and into criticalness. Because if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Where you spend your time. Another is once it said, if you show me your checkbook, I can show you what's important in your life. Same principle. In fact, in our current culture, it seems that if you're financially blessed, people get more material things. So let's go get a bigger home, bigger car, bigger TV. How big do TVs need to get? But unfortunately, when you have more stuff, you tend to spend more time with the stuff than you do with the relationships. And then we eventually will be in this idea that we don't even need relationships. One of the things that our society does more than ever is to celebrate and even strive for independence today. Saying, I don't want to depend on anybody. Or I want to be independent. Leave me alone. But church, to be independent is a non-biblical, non-Christian way to live. Because God did not create us to be independent. Instead, we are to be dependent upon Him. That's why I need Him. I need you. Oh, I need thee, right? I can't make it without Him. And we have to be dependent upon Him and upon the people in God's family. Jesus died for us. He loves us. And together we are called to serve one another. We're called to love one another, to exhort one another, to lift up and encourage one another. But at times, even in our own church lingo, we've said statements like this: all you need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's absolutely true, but it's incomplete. We were created for relationship. Even in the Garden of Eden, God looks at Adam in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." We can never settle for just a personal relationship with God because there is something deeper and richer in what God calls the church. That we would have a shared relationship with God together. Jesus told us in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them." What's even better than experiencing God on your own is experiencing the glory, the power, the majesty, the goodness, the character of God in the context of a biblical community. How many of you worship at home? That's excellent. Keep doing it. I love to worship and sing songs at home, but I love it when we come together in a corporate. It's so much fun to hear all the voices and the instruments and the praising God together. Being surrounded by God's people is an incredible thing. In fact, 1 Peter 2, he writes these words: "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." God has made us a people of His own. And listen to what the church is made up of after the second coming of Jesus. In Revelation 5:9, they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it, for you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people," listen, "for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." It isn't just about God. It's about the people of God, the relationship that he desires for us to have. Yet even in the church today, people are missing out on the relationship that we can have with each other. We have been called to love one another and to serve one another. Why would we ever think or feel that we don't need anybody else? Why would we want to live relationally poor, not having good relationships? The church, you don't have to. But the problem is, it's not just the church that's missing the relationships. It's the world is missing the relationships. I want to give you three reasons today I believe our world is struggling to have deep relationships. There's probably more than this. This is just a few. One is increased mobility today. People don't stay in one place very long. In fact, I am in the place right here as I've been serving at Northfield Christian. This is the longest place I've ever been anywhere. In all of my growing up years, of all the places Mom and Dad moved when we moved, I am now over the hump. 8 years was the longest place I've ever been anywhere. Now I've been here over 9 years. I thank God for that. But the average American, they tell us, they move once every 5 years. And if you're between the ages of 20 and 40, they tell us that you move every 3 years. And so it's really hard to have a long-term relationship with people when we don't stick around to get to know the people. A second problem is modern conveniences, not only our mobility, but now all these conveniences. Think about this. The air conditioner massively changed community, especially down south. See, before the air conditioner, where did people hang out at their home in the evening time? On the porch, or out in the backyard, or front yard, and on the swing. And while we were, because it was cooler outside, and then we would see people, our neighbors, and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And we would build relationship. That's where they were, that's where we were, and we got along and got to know our neighbors that way. Another big modern convenience is the attached garage with the automatic garage door opener. Now you don't even have to wave at your neighbors. You can pull up to your own bat cave, open it up, pull in, close the door, and you can live in the same neighborhood and never even have to talk to people there. What a great convenience, huh? Another is, how about answer machines and ID callers? The caller ID that we have. It changed everything, church. Those who are my age, of course, and older for sure, we remember. Do you remember, how did we find out who was calling us on the phone? I know it sounds really strange, but you had to pick it up and answer. But when the answer machine and this caller ID came along, all of a sudden we could screen our calls. Then you could decide whether or not you wanted to talk to them or just act like you weren't at home. You know what I'm talking about? How many still do that? No, I don't. Don't tell me that. Let me bring it more current. Some of our most modern day conveniences that have changed our culture is the individualized forms of communication and entertainment. Think about this. Those in, again, my age and older, how did we entertain ourselves as kids? Played outside. That's what we did. Played with kids in the neighborhood. Did all kinds of things. We played with a stick. It was great. We had all kinds of fun. I can't do it now. Kick a can, you know. It was fun. But we would go out, play with other. It's a crazy idea, but we actually interacted with other people. But today, the standard has changed. Today, you stay inside and play on your iPad. We've got our own problems in our home. We get ready. My boy would be like, let's watch a family movie. So we all get the family movie going, and then everybody's on their iPhones and iPod and playing. I'm like, we've lost it. Church culture has changed on us. A third reason I believe our world struggles to have deep relationships is our social media. I want to read to you a portion of an article. The article is entitled, Seduced by Social Media. It's a non-Christian article, but it says, Is Facebook Making You Lonely? It's by Margie Worrell. Just a couple of the paragraphs. Are you often checking in on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or any other one of the new social media networks? If so, then it's very likely you've been unwittingly seduced by them. It's all too easy to become addicted to the instant spark of gratification we get when someone likes our Facebook update or retweets our brilliance or reposts a pic from Instagram. Social networks appeal to our vanity and play to our vulnerability. They seduce us with the implicit promise that if we get enough friends or followers or likes, we will truly feel significant in the world. But alas, like any addiction, no matter how many likes we get, the high is quickly outlived and we are forced to head back for another round of posts and likes and follower counts. It's a vicious cycle. Many today are trying to fill their loneliness with social media. Maybe I can find somebody there. The church social media will never have the power of a real live person next to you. So many are going through life with hundreds of Facebook friends, and yet they have no one they can really call on in a time of need. Last week I talked to you and told you that you might be just one friend from changing the course of your destiny. Today I want to tell you, you might be just one community away from changing the course of your destiny. What if you had a strong community of committed believers, and you did life with them? Working together through the highs and the lows of life. People who in life will pray for you, encourage you, and always have your back. You might be one community away from changing your future of your family. We need communities of people like the New Testament church had. People who were devoted. In fact, in Acts 2, these are the people who got saved after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. In chapter 2, verse 42, it tells us, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These are New Testament believers. Shouldn't we still be New Testament believers? And they devoted themselves. It wasn't a half-hearted thing. They had complete buy-in to it. Listen to verse 42 again. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In other words, it was a community that was centered around Christ and His Word. It wasn't centered around soccer or around neighborhood associations. And I know, church, we're battling it today. And I know some of you have kids that play soccer and hockey and this and that. Church, we need to make sure that we're centered around Christ and His Word. That is the most important thing. You may be just that one community away from changing what could happen in your life. But I promise you, you won't just stumble into a community by accident. This community is created by the love of Christ in an intentional way as believers come together. Today, I want to give you three qualities, and there's more, but I want to give you three qualities of a great Christian community. And after these, I'm going to simply ask you to consider becoming more devoted to getting involved in smaller communities of believers within this church to help you grow in every aspect of your life. One of the first qualities I believe that we need is we need to encourage one another. Everybody say that. We need to say it again. You believe it? Listen to what Paul tells the church at Thessalonica. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Church, I'm not saying we haven't been doing it. In fact, I love our Sunday gatherings. I love our Wednesday nights, tonight, the movie night. I love these things. We're doing it, but we need to continue to do it, be more faithful at it, and I believe we need to do it in smaller communities. One of the key qualities to be a strong church is to encourage one another, build each other up, help each other in times of need. Also, I think we ought to challenge each other to walk the walk that we say we're going to walk as Christians. I want to encourage you like Paul did Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He says, but you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. If it comes from the Word of God, you can trust it. You've been taught by the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Churches, this will happen if we'll learn and we'll grow together. And we can't do it only in this large gathering. We need to do it in smaller groups so we can be more effective at ministering to one another. So, we need to encourage one another. Secondly, we all have flaws. Would you say that? Number two, we all have flaws. Do you believe that? That's something we need to understand. We have not become perfect in any way. The only holiness I have is the holiness of the Lord, the sanctification that He has placed in my life. I myself still have flaws. One of the things that's come up with the accident that I have ugly toes. I don't know about you. I'll be transparent. I got one of those toes that the toenail doesn't know what to do, and it just kind of grows everywhere, and I have to keep trimming it back. So you can't do that. But now everybody else knows I got ugly feet. You know. I said, can you give me a sock or something to go over that? What happens is we're all flawed. We're all damaged somehow. Romans 15, though, verse 7 tells us this. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. While you were still a sinner, He died for you. He accepted you. Accept one another in order to bring praise to God. In this passage, we're told to accept one another. And if we accept each other and love each other in the context of the community of the church, it doesn't matter how damaged we are. It doesn't matter how flawed we are. In fact, Paul tells us that if we accept them, it brings praise to God. That's incredible. When we love one another, no matter what the flaw may be, we are called or it causes it to bring praise to God. Amazing story in the Old Testament is about a man named Mephibosheth. I won't go into the whole story, but he had an accident as a baby, it tells us, and he was lame in both of his legs. And he was rejected by society. But the king had mercy on him and showed him love and accepted him and had him come to his table. Listen to it in 2 Samuel verse 9. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. Now, I don't want you to miss the power of this story. All of society rejected him in that day, and unfortunately, some of it carries over into this day. But in that day, if you were crippled, and in fact, you'll find this in other cultures, especially third world countries. If you're crippled or damaged, you're considered nothing. You have no value. But there was a king who accepted him. It was King David. And he always ate at the king's table. Guess what? We all are flawed. We all have crippled feet. We're all damaged in some way. But we've been invited to come and sit at the king's table. And when you sit at the king's table, and you all of a sudden you're covered by the table and you can't see the flaws. See, that's why when the blood of Jesus is applied to the doorpost of our heart, the sins are washed away. You're covered. And we don't need to see the flaws or the damages in each other. We're to accept one another. But church, we need to realize we're all flawed. That's why you're not going to go to another church and find a church that's perfect. Because as soon as you show up, you told me you were flawed. But we can accept one another. But realize we're flawed. There's a last quality I think that makes a strong community. And it's number three. We fight lions together. Say that. I know you're going, what in the world is he talking about? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 tells us this. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Did you hear that? That Satan is looking for somebody to chew up. We have a spiritual enemy who wants to devour people, pick you off, steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. I want to show you a quick video clip. It's a great picture of how we can stand together as Christians in community. It's got a little water buffalo in it, and I want you to know he's going to be okay. I'm going to set that up because it starts off a bit graphic. Are you ready? Play the video.
Oh my God.
The lions are coming in. They're chasing the water buffalo. They can't seem to get the big one, so there's a little one.
She's going for him.
Take him down.
She caught him. Oh, she did.
The others come in. And they got him. Just like these lions, Satan is trying to attack your family, attack your friends. He's trying to pick off the littlest one because that's the one that's vulnerable. Church, maybe you're the one that's vulnerable today. That's why we need community. Now, I want to take you back to the video because don't worry about the little buffalo, okay? What the lions didn't realize is that the water buffalo stick together. Basically, you're about to see if you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Go ahead, play the video. So here's the lions. They have drugged the water buffalo out of the water up onto the land. But that water buffalo herd is coming back. You see them? We're going to watch it here. Go ahead and let the sound run.
Look at the teeth, Jay. Look at
them. You're too late. You're too late.
You're roaring.
Hey, you guys, you cannot believe what's going on here. There's a big terrier between lions, crocodiles, and buffaloes.
Look at them all.
Whoa. One lion is gone. In fact, he chased him off. And then they come back.
Ooh, they got him surrounded.
And that one's...
Ooh.
Ooh.
And watch this buffalo. He's going to chase him. But I want you to know the herd has not forgot about the little buffalo.
You got the lion on him, right?
Take care of that lion.
Brave king of the beasts.
Here they come back.
Go on, go on.
Jesus.
you would believe this.
I've never seen anything like that.
The calf's still alive.
It is?
Yeah,
see
it's trying to get away.
See the little buffalo standing up?
It's standing up.
It is. It's standing.
There's the little buffalo. He's free.
They've got him back.
They do have him back.
Those lions cower back.
In fact, you go to YouTube, you can watch this. I look up little water buffalo and lions. I don't know. And you'll find it. And it's about 8 minutes long. In fact, they end up chasing all the lions away. They deal with them. You need to remember that Satan is like a roaring lion, and he'll intimidate you, and he'll make you think he's won. But church, if we could learn to stand up and connect to a strong community of believers, and we would stand together and fight, we can win. We need to realize that Christianity is not a playground. It is a battleground. We've had it easy for a lot of years. But church, it is time for us to make sure we are a community of believers. We are not wishy-washy, but we stand together. Our enemy will come to attack, but church, we've got each other's back. We're on each other's sides. And we're going to stand up for one another. Amen? Amen. And it won't be long before others will begin to see the way we love each other. And they will say, man, look how they take care of one another. It's like they care about each other. And then John 13:35 will come alive when Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You think those water buffalo loved their little one? And all together they went back and they won that battle. Church, we've been called to be disciples, but we've also been called to live in unity with our brothers and our sisters. And this thing is called the church. And to do it effectively, I think we need more than just a large gathering on Sundays. We need to connect to smaller groups of people within this larger group. Over the next few months, we're going to be offering more groups for you to connect to. Right now, though, you can get involved with Sunday school, care communities, or Wednesday night classes, ladies' Bible study, men's breakfast, or men's prayer groups in the morning. There are other prayer groups. In fact, this week, or at least by next weekend, we're going to open up on our webpage a list of all these places you can get involved with. I was told there's 60 of them. There are some 60 groups already meeting. Some are going to feed the poor. Others are praying and set up places. And we have prayer teams. We have serving teams. We have all kinds of ministries that are in small group format so we can care for one another, so that we can serve one another, get to know each other, and do what God has called us to be, or to do what he's called us to do is be the church. But we do that well in small groups. I love this dynamic, and as long as the Lord will allow us. But could I tell you something? My concern in the days ahead, and I'm not saying this will happen in a year or two, but is I don't know that we're going to have the freedom that we have to meet like this for a long, long time, church. The church is being attacked. And my question as a pastor, I begin to think, if they shut us down, how would we connect? But if I can get you connected to a small group, that's how the church will survive. That's how it's surviving in China. That's how it's surviving in other places in the world, because they are connected into small groups. Church, we need to encourage one another all the more. In fact, as you see the day approaching, if you can't see it coming, then you're blind. In fact, the Bible tells us, it says, as believers, we will not be caught off guard. I see it happening, church. And we need to prepare ourselves. And we need to encourage one another. You need to remember we all have flaws, because you'll get into those small groups and they'll be like, well, you don't really fit, or this or that. Church, let's accept one another. Just as Christ accepted us, let's learn to accept people. And then we need to fight lions together. There's going to be moments we're going to get attacked. But church, If we'll come together as a community, God will help us. This morning, I want to end just a little bit different, maybe than I normally do. Pastor Matt, would you come? I'm going to ask you to do this morning in closing. I want you to get in small groups this morning. It may not be your normal small group, but in the balcony, main floor. I know there's a lot of people, and some of you may need to spin around, but if you can get in groups, maybe five or six. It could be your family if it needs to be. But this morning, in small communities, I want us to pray for each other. This morning at first service, there were some that were sharing some joys and some praise reports, and they were laughing. There was another group that was praying together, and they were crying over a need. All those dynamics are real, and they happen. There's no reason you can't laugh and be joyful in a small group. There's also no reason you can't cry with one another in times of need. I don't know where you're at today. You're going to have to work at this. You're going to have to devote yourself. But this morning, I just want us to get in these small groups. Pray for one another. It doesn't mean everybody has to share a need. There may be just one. But that we would gather around that one and let's rescue today. Let's make sure those who are vulnerable are not vulnerable, because we come together as community and we're going to rescue them from the lions.